This is Working Draft's audio overview of the impeachment trial of Vice President Sara Duterte for September 7, 2026. This is a working reference, not an official Senate record. The sitting centered on civil registry records and the names used on confidential fund receipts. The prosecution called Marisa B. Grande, Assistant National Statistician for the Civil Registration Service at the Philippine Statistics Authority, or PSA. She described how her office checked the submitted names and prepared its certifications.
Grande confirmed that 1,685 of the 2,669 submitted names had no birth, marriage, or death record in the database. That was about 63%. The list concerned the Office of the Vice President and the Department of Education. Prosecutor May Sancho Divina Gracia said receipts containing only signatures or unreadable names had been excluded from the submission.
For names that produce single matches, Grande identified 37 death certificates, 32 associated with names on the vice president's office list, and 5 on the education department list. She also described birth record matches indicating 20 minors on the first list and 5 on the second. Divina Gracia offered this evidence to support the prosecution's contention that confidential funds had been liquidated under non-existent names and names matching deceased people and children.
During cross-examination, Grande explained that the PSA had received a list and a request letter rather than the acknowledgement receipts themselves. She confined her certification to the availability of database records. Earlier, during direct examination, presiding officer Francis Escudero asked whether the person in a matching birth record was the same Beatrice Cuenca who signed a receipt. Grande said she could not answer that.
The questioning also examined how people can be missing from the registry. Grande acknowledged that births, marriages, and deaths can go unregistered, and that delayed registration affects search results. Answering Senator Erwin Tulfo, she said a person who had not completed delayed registration could receive a negative result. She also said the submitted names had not been checked against the national ID system.
Senator Joel Villanueva pressed Grande on how the 63% result compared with other verification requests. She called it unusual. Asked whether other requests reached 50%, Grande answered no and said the highest were around 30 to 40%. Senator Sherwin Gachilian separately asked whether the PSA had investigated if the people behind the unmatched names actually existed. Grande said it had not.
Aliases became a central question. Villanueva asked how the PSA could verify someone behind an alias. Grande said the actual identity would have to be supplied, with details such as birth date, birthplace, and parents' names. She agreed that an alias alone, without independently verifiable information linking it to a real identity, would not establish the person behind a receipt.
Senator Risa Hontiveros then pressed the defense to state its position. She asked whether the entries were real names or aliases. Attorney Justin Nicol B. Guller answered that they were aliases and described the information as classified. He said the defense would address the matter during its presentation of evidence. Hontiveros noted that this was the respondent's answer to her question.
There was also a dispute over data privacy. Goulart asked whether the PSA had obtained the individual's consent before releasing their civil registry documents. Grande said it had not. She also confirmed that the 2026 certifications had been requested by the public prosecutor without a subpoena.
Divina Gracia invoked Section 13, Paragraph F of the Data Privacy Act, arguing that its exception covered information used to establish claims and defenses in legal proceedings. Answering Escudero, Grande said the PSA relied on that provision, checked the request's legitimate purpose, and limited the information to what was proportionate. She identified the House Committee's ongoing investigation as the purpose of its request.
After Grande was excused, Divina Gracia argued that the alias theory should have been disclosed in the answer or at pretrial. She said the prosecution had prepared its case without that disclosure. Defense counsel Sheila Sison responded that the prosecution first had to discharge its burden of proof and that the defense had not yet reached its evidence presentation.
Escudero declined to compel the defense to present its theory or evidence at that stage. He said the prosecution could raise its objection during the defense presentation. He also noted that the defense might choose to file a demur and decide not to present evidence.
The senators also sought answers from the security officers linked to the funds. Earlier, Senator Raffi Tulfo questioned similar handwriting and signatures under different receipt names and urged calling Colonel LaChica and his Education Department counterpart. Later, Erwin Tulfo proposed that the court summon Colonel LaChica and Colonel Nolasco if the prosecution would not present them, so senator judges could ask about the funds and the vice president's involvement.
Representative Gerville Luistro confirmed that the prosecution did not intend to present LaChica and Nolasco. Escudero explained that the court could consider calling witnesses after the parties, evidence presentations, and before judgment. He said a court-called witness would answer questions from the senator judges.
The court also addressed Edward Fajardo's planned testimony. After a medical update, the prosecution withdrew its request to call him on humanitarian grounds. Escudero recalled the subpoena. He cited a medical certificate and Senate medical confirmation that Fajardo needed another 30 days to recover.
For the next stages of the case, the chair granted Manulife PNB and Union Bank more time to comply with document subpoenas. He directed financial institutions to submit their compliance personally to the clerk of court. The clerk would compare electronic and paper versions and furnish both parties with the same sets of documents.
Luistro announced that the prosecution would advance its unexplained wealth evidence and present bribery evidence afterward, retaining both parts of its case. Ahead of the next police witness, Sisson requested advance copies of the documents and reserved the right to seek more time to examine them. Escudero asked the prosecution to establish whether the PNP had a separate report and provided in time for cross-examination.
Grande's examination was complete, and the chair had excused her. The prosecution planned to continue with its next witnesses on September 8th. Escudero adjourned the impeachment trial until 10 in the morning that day.